Welcome to Escape This Podcast, a show that's a mix between tabletop role-playing and escape room puzzles. This is the third episode of season 14, and we're back to a Danny room. Are you excited to run another room?
I'm excited to talk about this room at the very least. I'll be interested in talking about it after it's all done.
All right. Well, every episode
we have... That's what you want to hear.
Yeah. I don't want to run it, but I really want to dissect how weird it is. Every episode we have guests come on and play through an audio escape room that Danny has created. And this episode we have returning guests. We have Tom Scott.
Hello.
And we have David Bodycombe.
Hi there.
This is the second time you two have been on the show. You were on back in season 10, I remember off the top of my head. And we have been on your show quite a lot. We've been, Tom, so you are, obviously you're Tom Scott, so you're everyone should know you from YouTube.
Oh, I don't like that description. You're obviously, no, I'm, currently, as this goes out, my main project is Lateral, which is a podcast about interesting trivia questions with even more interesting answers. That is not the tagline we use. David, what is the tagline we use these days? Because I keep going back to that one and you keep telling me it's not the one we use anymore.
We've stolen what Apple used to describe us, which was weird questions, wonderful answers.
There we go.
And I like that so much that I've co-opted it as our official slogan now.
Well, yeah, so we've been on a few episodes of Lateral, and it's a huge amount of fun. So we definitely were waiting to try and get you back onto the show. We're really glad that we'd get the two of you on to play another room. Are you excited to try your hand at our version of weird games and puzzles?
Well, I am looking forward to playing it again, because last time we had a spectacular talent of visiting all of the locations in precisely the wrong order. And that made things a tidal wave of information. We were opening PDFs, we were writing stuff down.
Once we resolved it, it was great. Everything just kind of locked together at the end. But yeah. My God, it was a long way to get there.
On the plus side, in recent seasons, I have been making very deliberate, forceful efforts to shorten and curtail and put fewer things in the rooms. So less chance of that happening.
Yeah.
That said, Bill, I think in the playtest, you did everything in the opposite order that I expected. So
and
we'll
I
see.
Had a lot of fun.
Oh,
so it should be okay. Every time we have guests on the show, we have the same two questions. And the first is that this is an escape room show. So why don't we start with David? David, do you have any updates to your escape room experience?
I have, actually. Since I last talked to you, I went to ClueQuest, who are an excellent company in London, who have some very nicely made games. I played their hardest game with a group of friends who are, let's call them type A personalities. They are computer programmers, you know, not necessarily puzzlers, but they certainly are good at analyzing systems and stuff like that. I think we completed it something like 52 minutes without any clues, and that's their hardest room. It was a very clever theme. It was you go into an anteroom and you get shrunk down and go into a second room, and then all the props are oversized. So you have like a 3-foot-high Rubik's Cube and like a massive computer mouse that's actually like almost like a beach ball-sized trackball and things like that. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That's great.
That's lovely.
Love it when actual places do fun, ambitious, weird stuff.
It reminds me, so the guest GM we had on last episode, Spencer Beebe, had a room in LA where you played canonically as dogs. And so everything was a little bit bigger and odd and you're outside and there was a big kennel to stay. And it's like, you're all dogs. Which was a very
good thing. If you got caught short, you just have a whiz in the corner of the room. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. And then they have to let you out. And Tom, any updates to your escape room experience?
I have done precisely one mediocre escape room in the last couple of years because I've been quite busy.
Really?
There's just a lot going on in my life. And at some point, I'm hoping to go do more. And the ClueQuest and one and all that sound lovely. At some point, I need to get some friends together and go. At some point it'll happen, but until then, this is going to be the first escape room experience I've had since the last time I was on this show.
No pressure.
Well, look, yeah, you've got time now. You're freeing up your schedule a little bit, so hopefully next time you're on the show, you'll be like, I've done 270 rooms! All I've done is rooms! Just an escape room a day forever! Let's hope. So then the other element of this show is that it's escape rooms mixed with a sort of tabletop role-playing flavour. Why don't we go reverse order this time? And I imagine The answer will be somewhat similar. Tom, any updates to your tabletop role-playing experience?
I'm still really bad at it. It's still not a thing. I can play myself. I can't play a character. So whoever this is in this escape room, it's going to be me.
It's going to be you.
It's going to be, yeah.
And David, what about you? Any updates to your tabletop role-playing experience?
Not as such. I tend not to do that kind of thing. I do still do Puzzle Point in London, and then also I'm kind of halfway between a little bit of role play and escape rooms. I do a lot of the Exit board games.
Nice.
The sort of the escape room in a box. I've got a daughter now who's 13, and she's old enough to play those with me. And some of those, I think, in the last one we played, which was actually very good. You got to be a Sherlock Holmes kind of character investigating something happening. And so that had some role play elements in it where at one point it tried to engineer an argument between you, which is kind of interesting. And it's very advantageous for me to play it with my daughter because for two reasons. One, I'm colorblind, and sometimes that's an issue with these games, unfortunately. And the second is that sometimes there are things that are printed in type that is about 5 micrometers like high, and I cannot see them even if they're pointed out to me. And the fact that she's got 13-year-old eyes means that we can notice those clues. Yes.
Yeah, that is a big one. That's also a big thing in physical escape rooms when they dim the lights a little bit, and there's sort of like kids and teenagers are like, great, and adults go, please just brighten it up a little bit. I don't want to keep looking at these things in the dark. All right, wonderful. Well, I think with all of that out of the way, I think we're good to get started. Danny, are you ready to whisk us away?
Let's make this happen.
All right. Well, I think that's it. Let's go.
Water? The old lady Bettina offers you with shaky hands. Your kind does drink water, don't they? Your manners force you to smile, but you really want to roll your eyes. It's just like, water, come on. Your old boss warned you that dealing with magic folk was more trouble than it was worth, but you thought that was because they'd make outlandish requests, like subduing dragons or catching shapeshifters, things like that. You didn't think it was because they knew absolutely nothing about mortals like you. Well, anyway, she sets the glass down on the table in front of you on the off chance you might want it. I'll get to the point. My good friend Samwise has vanished, and not in the usual fun way. I'm dreadfully worried something's happened to him. Perhaps he's been eaten again. I hope not. Look, I keep a piece of his beard hair in my locket, you see here, and I can usually sense him with it, but I rather think it's gone faulty. It's only giving me the faintest signal, and it's coming from Odd Oods, the elderly gentleman of wizardry barbershop. I suspect it's picking up some discarded hairs from his last haircut. But that means he's been there recently at least, so I would love it if you could go in there and poke around for any signs of where he might have gone. You have some questions for her, mainly, why on earth does she need you for this task? She's magic. Everybody she knows in her life is magic. Yet she's gone online and honed in on your ad where you offer to do miscellaneous jobs in exchange for helping pay your extremely non-magical bills. And sweet old Bettina has an explanation. Well, I could teleport, but when I appear on the teleporter circle there, that will set off the suddenly appearing customer alarm, and we can't have that. Odd Ood isn't very forthcoming. Something of a loner for most of his life. Tragic backstory, I assume. I really think this investigation needs to be done quietly, and anyone with magic in their blood sets off the alarm as soon as they set foot. You, on the other hand. And with that, she flourishes the fingers on her wizened right hand, and you vanish from existence. When you return, you're in a completely different location, dropping painfully on your tailbone on the floor. Well, there's your first lesson. Wizards have extremely hard tiles in their barbershops. They also like zapping you places without your permission or agreeing to do the job at all. But she did promise to pay well, and it's hard to turn down a simple old lady. You look around, you see what you can see. The barbershop isn't enormous, but it fits in everything it needs to, and most things you recognise as well as if this were a non-magical place. In the upper right corner is a waiting area, with a couch and a coffee table covered in magazines.
I will give you any time. Are you guys drawers or just typers? Tom's just typing.
I'm typing.
David, do you want time to draw?
I'm using my Sharpie, and
yeah,
I'm
like a real escape room fiend.
Off in the upper left corner is a large shelf with various hair products for sale. Along the lower wall are six chairs where clients get their haircuts, complete with individual mirrors hanging in front of each one. On the left wall is a big closed curtain covering up, well, you aren't sure what. After that, though, the clues that this is a place for wizards start to become a bit more obvious. Against the upper wall is a different mirror to all the others. This one is broad, full body length, and is definitely glowing. It is doubtless a magic mirror. On the floor, right where you have fallen, is a faint circle made of blue light. Bettina mentioned a teleporter circle. Perhaps what this is? Makes sense. You appeared on it. You were teleported in. Speaking of, your arms are a bit dusty. Is that a side effect of teleporting? You brush the dust off, and out of nowhere, an object you can only describe as a magic Roomba appears to catch it before it can hit the ground, and then whisks itself away again. All right, look, this place is a little weird. But to be honest, when it comes to missing persons, you think you've seen weirder. And with that, you're free to look around.
Now, anybody who's seen a photo of me in the last 15, 20 years will know that I'm not a regular frequenter of barbershops for an obvious reason. Also, this mention of wizards and Samwise and things like that fills me with dread because I know nothing about Game of Thrones. And so
he's a Samwell, isn't he, in Game of Thrones?
I think he is.
I'm not a Game of Thrones person so much either.
Samwise means you know nothing about Lord of the Rings.
Yes, I'm deliberately mixing things up for comic
effect. Perfect.
Yes.
I'm glad someone is, because this is going to be outside my knowledge as well.
Incidentally, thank you to Patreon donor Samwise Gamgee. No relation, I assume.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes with themed stuff, it can actually be useful not to know anything about the theme. I sometimes find, especially when I'm doing things like Puzzle Pint, because it means you concentrate more on what you're supposed to solve rather than getting too deep into the lore and predicting what you think might be the answers. So, Okay, what do we do first?
My normal role in these things is to play the big blundering idiot. So I'm going to get up, walk over to the big closed curtain and open the curtain. Because best case, he's just standing behind there.
You found me! Room's over!
So as you approach this curtain, you get a look at it. It's beautiful, long, navy blue. It's got an elaborate symbol design on it. Totally normal, as you...
Hold on. I'm going to have a look at that symbol first. Because I may not know much about magic and rules of systems like that, but I know that if there's a big symbol, you probably don't want to touch it until you're sure that symbol isn't going to do something to you.
Understood. All right, you're going to get an image of that.
So for people at home, you can see this symbol, but Tom is going to describe it to you.
In addition, David, nothing is specifically color-centric in this, but there are some things that do have color on them, if they're difficult in any way. I can quickly whip up a black and white version.
Okay, no, with color blindness, it's usually sort of when either brown or red and green or something similar like that is
red green is the one I know most about, but you never know.
The design on the curtain looks like almost like a circuit diagram if a circuit diagram didn't make any sense. It's like someone has drawn a big H in gold ink on the navy blue curtain. Above it is something that looks a bit like an eight. There are horizontal lines going between it. There's a big swoopy three-quarter circle at the bottom. It's a complicated design of gold lines and curves on the navy blue curtain. It doesn't mean anything to me, but it does mean I'm not going to open that curtain just yet, because that looks like some sort of magical ward or warning.
Well, on that note, now that you've gotten up close to it, you notice one other particularly odd thing. At one side, there is a lock attached to this curtain, sticking it to the wall. It's a combination lock of four numbers, and you are not sure how or why this makes any sense for a curtain, because they are notoriously not hard to get around.
To me, this symbol looks like someone's trying to dry a guitar on a very wonky towel rail.
Yes, yes, it does.
They've solved it. Danny, we're going to change the puzzle.
For people who have not pulled up the image, I would like to see, like, just draw that. Just draw David's description there and just see what you've come up with and then check it later. Because he's not wrong, but I defy anyone to get the design from that description.
Now, okay, I don't think we can do anything with that particularly. Well, I suppose we can, because there's sort of like, there's vaguely an H, there's vaguely an 8, but and sort of vaguely a C, but I don't think we've got anything firm to go on there. You see, if I'm going to a barbershop, I would suggest the first thing you normally would go and do is sit down and read through the magazine. So I think we should maybe wander over to the upper right corner and examine the couch and feel down the back of the couch to see if there's anything there, first of all, and then see if there's any magazine things inside.
Great. First of all, you walk to the waiting area. It does indeed consist of a single couch and this coffee table with magazines. Attached to one of the walls nearby is a poster, well, part of a poster. The top half has some big bubbly words. Be sure to learn our runes so we can process your requests efficiently. And the bottom half, where the runes should be, is a tattered mess. Not like one neat rip. It's as if over time people have shredded off little segments of it. You kind of wonder, maybe some wizard brought their kid here and the kid was bored and waiting around and just started being destructive.
Can we check the couch?
You take the risk of digging your hands down the sides of the seat cushions of this couch. You don't come across any particular dirt, any particular gunk. No bits of poster either. Okay, maybe wizards are just neater than most people. Oh, hang on, what's that? Oh, that's not what you expected. You pull out a little soft plastic eyedropper.
Does it have anything in it?
No, it's completely empty.
Okay.
All right. That is not what I was expecting.
And David, I think you mentioned the magazines as well.
Yeah, let's have a riffle through those.
There's plenty to riffle through. Most of these magazines, they're healthy, lifestyle, or homewares themed. You find The Philosopher's Stone Top Benches, Return of the King-Sized Mattress, Wizards of Wavy-Haired Places, all those ridiculous
well
things.
Well done.
Amidst the weird ones, though, you find two that seem quite normal. You see immediately why they were put here. One has, according to its cover, a feature on the most notable 200-plus-year-old wizards in the local area. And the other has a big feature spread about Odd Ood himself and his success as a local business wizard.
No copy of Titbits magazine. That was always the magazine that was in my local barber. You could never find it in any, like, newsagents. It was just some sort of very weird, like, odd story magazine that was always
It's like the magazine equivalent of that one toy in every dentist's office where you have the wire that goes around that just has wooden beads on it. It's like, that's not for sale anywhere, but every dentist had one.
I feel like we should have a look at the magazine articles. There's probably some information on who Odd Ood is. And possibly
say that a
who
lot.
Samwise is. Yeah, I will not. And possibly who Samwise is.
Great. Which one are you interested? The one that's got the feature on Odd Ood or the one about 200-plus notable wizards? Or notable 200-plus wizards. That's very different.
Let's do Odd Ood first.
You open the magazine that features Odd Ood in this barbershop. There are some familiar photos of this place. You look back and forth trying to do a spot the difference thing, but you don't see anything notable that way. There's a whole lot of an interview with Odd Ood. Most of his answers are very curt, single sentences, single words if he can get away with it. You're a little surprised they found this worth publishing. There is, however, one topic that Odd Ood is apparently all too happy to talk about. He was asked the question, "What gets you through the hard times?" And he responded, "The only thing that can get one through the lowest lows. Love, my new love, Stitch and Stacy, has reinvigorated my heart, my soul, and my business. Whenever I'm in a slump, I simply hold her lily-soft hand, listen to the symphonic flute of her voice, or embrace her close enough to smell the overwhelming reassurance of her auburn hair, and everything miraculously gets better. She's the smartest businesswoman I've ever met, and I couldn't be gladder that she's never very far away. And then after that, all the other questions, right back to single words and single sentences.
Let's have a look at the other magazine then. Oh, sorry, David, were you coming in there?
I was just going to say, until you said businesswoman, I was wondering whether Stitching Stacy was some kind of like doll that you
had it sounds a bit
toy,
like
toy shop.
This is magic, it could be.
Could be both, you're right.
Let's have a look at the other magazine.
All right, you have a flip through the pages. You don't see Odd Ood in this one, perhaps he's under 200. You do, indeed, find Samwise as one of the notable wizards in the local area. Only a tiny snippet, but it does include a photo, which should at least help you know who you're looking for tonight. So we'll take a look at that quickly. I want to know if when you describe this, it's the same way that Billa described it. I'm looking forward to this.
All right. So for people at home, you can see a link to this photo in the show notes. David, would you like to have a give a description of this character that you see?
This is an epic prize-winning illustration of somebody who looks very similar to you, what you might describe as an English judge with like a long kind of grey sort of wig kind of hair. A pencil moustache and a very typical tall, slightly bent witch's hat, effectively.
Mm-hmm. I would sum it up as discount Gandalf.
Whereas I said he looks like he's just had a very relaxing day of burning witches. He's got a very Salem look to him.
Also, that sounds, I've said it like a wrestling chant, like, discount Gandalf!
But yeah, just of note, not relevant to the story. No beard in this photo. It must have been taken in one of his beardless phases, but, you know, everyone has them. But yeah, that's about it. That's all you get from this magazine.
Wow. And do we know what number Samwise is? Or does that not matter?
I didn't write anything about any of the others, so apparently it doesn't matter.
All right.
That's a good number. He is important wizard number 87.
Ooh.
Crack the top half.
That's a very strange picture because I cannot work out for the life of me. I mean, other than it just sitting at a on some kind of seat in front of a very plain rectangular box, there's nothing that looks like a code or nine numbers. Mm. There's a sort of colours going on, but that's about it. I mean, the collar is a kind of a weirdish shape, but it looks like a
greyish green.
A very elaborate M.
This is why I still do all my drawings by hand. You can never tell what's intentional and what's just poor illustration.
True.
Shall we go? I'm hoping there's going to be some kind of reflection puzzles at some point because I know what to do with those. So shall we go and look at these six chairs and their mirrors?
Yeah, let's investigate the lower wall.
All right, so the chairs, first of all. Six swivel chairs for the customers, all in a line. Now, you notice they have a very U-shaped sort of curvy designs. High armrests, solid U-shape to them. You inspect all the chairs one by one for discrepancies between them. On one, someone has left a surprisingly bulky straight razor sitting on the armrest. It's old, it's kind of unwieldy, but wizard barbers must have tricks to make them work as well as good old modern razors. That's the only oddity. Although, is that something? Could just be a shadow, but in the narrow crevice between the armrest and the back of one of the chairs, you think you can see something. It's unclear, but there's a bit of a glint on it that makes it look like it might be a little splash of liquid down there.
Oh, well, isn't it convenient that I have a little eyedropper that I found earlier?
Well, look at that. Maybe you're doing this in the right order this time.
I feel like in the traditional style of old point-and-click adventures, I am going to use eyedropper on glint of liquid.
The dropper is super narrow, fits perfectly into that chair crease where the mystery liquid is, and you successfully draw up a good several drops. Now that it's out in the open, you see it's a deep swirling red.
Wow. Okay.
Is this... It's a barbershop. I haven't spent much time in barbershops, but I assume blood sometimes happens.
Okay. Now, in a move that's probably going to make every escape room owner in the world clench, are we allowed to slash the chairs with the razor?
You can give it a good shot. You will not get anything out of it, though. So you do it to one. Let's say it magically heals itself.
Magic chairs.
Okay.
Yeah, that's dangerous. You've given people in an escape room a way to destroy things. That's a risky thing.
It's fine for us because we either just say it doesn't work or you just destroy it. We don't have to reset the room.
Yep. The old point and click adventure. All right. I think we keep investigating, unless... is there anything we've missed here, David?
Well, we haven't looked at the mirrors themselves yet. Do they have anything on them?
Let's observe the mirrors.
These regular mirrors, so-called, up close, they're not quite as regular as you thought. Because they're not attached to their wall. They're hovering in front of it, immobile in the air. Which, you suppose, must be convenient. Presumably, they can easily move around so that the customer can see the sides or back of their head without having to go grab other mirrors.
Can I try experimentally moving one of them? Does it shift at all?
You gently push one of the mirrors from its current position. Since it's floating, you aren't quite sure how it's going to go. Evidently, it's on some sort of invisible rails because it stays perfectly upright and it orbits the chair in a perfect circle. And it seems to slow down to stop every 45 degrees. So right in front of the customer, right behind, or to the direct left and right. And as expected, it creates a perfect reflection of the chair. And you can assume that all of these mirrors would behave the same way.
Is there anything behind any of them?
No, behind them is just air.
And wall, presumably.
Yeah, you can walk between them and the wall and you don't see anything there.
That's really inconvenient because I'm just looking at the collar of our discount wizard and it's got slightly more than six lines in it, which is... disappointing. All right. What else could we do? Well, there's a whole shelf of products we haven't looked at yet. And
yeah,
there's a
we've got the product
mirror.
Shelf and we've got the magic mirror, which I think I'm saving for last.
Onto this product shelf then. The shelf has a big collection of hair products in bottles and jars, shampoos, conditioners, detangling sprays, quick hardening mousses, others. They all seem very normal. Their price tags are all a little outrageous, but they don't say dollars, so maybe they're a different currency. Maybe they're really high-end, or maybe they're just more magical than they look. Most of them have normal scents, like lavender, strawberry. But then some of them are like nostalgia for a long-gone holiday, or the satisfying fullness of having eaten just the right amount. You aren't quite sure what those smell like, but you believe them.
Can I have a closer look at those price tags?
They look just like normal price tags. They've all got numbers on them. Most of them seem like they range from, if they were in dollars or pounds, 20 to 200, but you don't see any sort of patterns to them.
Okay. And there's no handy PDF file that might have a photo of these products in there.
No.
There's just so many of them.
So
it's almost
products.
Like you need to know what you're looking for in this case.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I see. Okay. Right. Well, let's go to the mirror then, and then we're out of ideas.
I will also want to try and track where that magic Roomba went, but we'll deal with that in a minute.
The mirror at the top end of the room is definitely different from the others. As we said, full body length. It's got a nice frame and a faint pink glow shimmering under its surface. As you stare into it, the surface ripples and words appear.
So again, for people at home, you can see this image in the show notes, but I believe, David, it might be your turn. Would you like to read it out for the listeners at home?
So at the top it says, Mirror of Quick Change. And underneath it says, Looking a Little Lub, which is underlined. That's little and L-L-U-B. Don't wait. Just use a little scarlet biopil. B-I-U-P-I-L. Little and biopil. Also, underlined.
I'm immediately trying to anagram LLUB and BIUPIL, but all I can get is bull and plub.
He's cracked it.
Bull people.
It has to be bull backwards. Is there anything that could be possibly? I mean, there's lip balm. I can't think of what else that would be. B-I-U-P-I-L. Quick change. Mirror.
I assume it doesn't do anything to me for looking into it, or there's nothing other than the words appearing. It's not presenting me as something else?
It is not. It seems very normal.
Right. I've got a possible idea.
All right.
Okay, so the clue is little, all right? And these are written in capital letters. So if you write LLUB in little letters, and then you look at it in a mirror, it would be sort of LLUB little b backwards. Which, does that give you...
Dull. It gives you dull. Oh, well done. That's
now,
brilliant.
That's
very quick.
Is that also going to work with the other one? So if
well,
we write down...
A lowercase L-I-Q-U, liquid, little scarlet liquid. B-I-U-P-I-L, convert it to lowercase, reverse it in a mirror, you get liquid. Oh, well you done, David.
Look at that.
That couldn't have gone better.
I did a question on Only Connect that sort of used capitals and little letters, and so I was slightly aware of the tricks of that. So, but that doesn't really. So we do happen to have a little bit of scarlet liquid, as it happens.
Yep.
So looking a little dull, something is looking a little dull. Has there anything? Well, we are a bit dull because we've been covered in all this dust.
Well, I've got a few drops of that red liquid, right? We were able to pull up a few of that. I'm going to just drop one of that on the mirror experimentally. Just kind of put the eyedropper up to the mirror, drop one into it.
You have a sneaking suspicion that maybe the mirror of quick change has something to do with it. Just like if someone can't be bothered going through the whole barbershop experience and they just want to get it done like that, this is where they'd go. And you hold your dropper right up to the mirror and you squeeze, just letting a tiny bit spill out. The mirror ripples and the liquid is drawn towards it, drawn into it. The whole thing glows a deeper pink, then returns to normal, except now the words on the mirror have somewhat changed.
And you can see these new words in the show notes if you're playing along at home, but Tom will read out the new magic mirror to you.
It's got a series of runes, glyphs, that are mostly all semicircles and lines that look suspiciously like someone has only put half a word up there. I recognise what this looks like. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but it also says... Blood not spilled by owner, locating.
And that part seems like it's sort of just dot, dot, dotting like a loading computer screen, but you have a sneaking suspicion that it's not going anywhere.
To me, these look exactly like the subset and intersection and unions symbols you'd do for set theory and maths. So I'm having flashbacks to my maths degree here. And to me, it looks like N Cancun or something, the way it's been spelt, but presumably it's nothing to do with that.
I want to put a mirror. Yeah, I realise we don't have one that can move into that position, but I feel like that's a reflection that if you copy it and reflect it down somehow, it might spell a word or spell something, but I don't know what that could be.
So if we've been given what looks like a little N and reflect that down, that would sort of turn it roughly into an O, but then that doesn't really work for the next one because you've got like a C underlined, but if you reflect that, you get sort of like a weird E. Well, let's keep that going. I mean, so that'll be O, E, and then this sort of U with a line next to it gives you kind of like an H and an I, and then an I and an O, and then another E and then another O.
I mean, what's that spell?
Is it like Niancio? Isn't there something in Harry Potter that's like that?
Yeah, this is the scariest part about magic rooms. Words can be anything, but you yell that with all your might and nothing happens.
There aren't really enough symbols there to make that work, are they? It doesn't quite... I feel like it's a flip or a rotate or a reflection of some kind, but I can't quite figure it out.
What's bothering me is, like, yes, they are kind of rotated, but why are some underlined and some not? The four in the middle are underlined, effectively, in some way, and the other two on the outside are not.
Have we seen this kind of design anywhere else in the barbershop?
Tough to answer.
Hard to say, have you?
You haven't missed anything regarding to this. We'll put it that way. There's nothing that should have been if you'd looked closer at this thing, you would have seen some math sets.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really... It's got curves and lines, but it doesn't really look like the symbol on the curtain.
Oh, it's the chairs. There's six chairs. The chairs have a U-shape. These are all semicircle runes. Some of them have lines next to them, which are the mirrors in various positions. If I were to go over to the chairs and put them in the same positions that I can see from these glyphs, I'm going to try that. Let's try that. Let's move the chairs into the positions of these six semicircular glyphs and move the mirrors, four of the mirrors, into the positions that match the glyphs as well.
Great. You rotate some chairs around, you move the mirrors into these positions, and no magic happens.
Oh.
But yeah, everything is just behaving exactly as it should. And the chairs are being chairs, the mirrors are reflecting like mirrors do. That's about it, really.
Presumably it's because the first and the last one don't have an underliner, therefore we don't know where the mirrors should go for those two.
That's true. We could try and brute force that, and if I was in an actual escape room, I would.
You do so. It doesn't make any difference.
Okay.
They seem extremely normal. I'm ready for you.
Has that, like, moved something else into position? Can we now see something through the mirrors or anything like that? I'm just going to stare at these from every possible angle I can and see if I can figure anything out there.
You wander around, you're trying to see if these six mirrors, or these four mirrors in particular, have any new insights as you look into them, but all they are reflecting is their own chairs, really.
That's a disappointment. What about the fact that we are looking essentially for a four-digit code for the curtain?
Mm. I haven't looked at the circle or the Roomba yet. So how can we make some dust to bring the magic Roomba back?
I mean, we could take some paper from the magazine and rip it into tiny shreds and put it on the floor and see if it's going to vacuum it up.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah,
or get some talcum powder from the barbershop.
If you've set up a Babel fish puzzle here, like from the Hitchhiker's Guide text adventure game, I swear.
No, you're all fine.
You look around for the Roomba, and yeah, it's not around, so let's make a little bit of a mess and see what happens. You do some shreds, some little paper, and woo, paper snow. And the first bit's barely hit the floor before you hear this little come up behind you, and it's fast, but you manage to get a good look before it whisks itself away again. It's got a round, dinner plate-sized body, it's levitating a few inches above the ground, the paper, dirt, whatever, is sucked up into its underside without it needing to actually touch it. On the top side, you see a little hatch for emptying the collected dirt. You'd have thought wizards could just magic that away, apparently not. And then, again, very quickly, it zooms away behind you into a void. You have no idea where it's going when it does this.
We need to catch that Roomba, open it up, and get the rune scraps out of it. That poster that was torn up by the kid, we assume, is inside that Roomba. So how do we capture a magical flying Roomba?
Well, we just get to do this the same way, except that we just bung up the void hole before it has a chance to go back in.
New tagline of the show, bung up the void hole.
Bung up the void hole. That's a terrible game show catchphrase. Let's bung up the void hole.
All right, what do you think is some good bung substance? I can't keep doing this.
On the shelf, there's got to be something on the shelf that's a thing we can spray or like something to catch it with.
Yeah, you might have noticed in my a list of normal, very normal hair products, some things that might have stood out.
Quick hardening mousses.
That seems like it could probably get the job done.
Actually, do we want to bung up the void hole or do we want to spray it on the Roomba to try and catch it?
But then we're going to bung up the hatch that we're going to try and open. So,
Good point. Let's go for the void hole first.
You take this mousse off the shelf, you remove its cap, and right in the center of the floor, you shake the can, press the nozzle, and you let a stream of the stuff loose and make a nice little tower out of it. And again, that vroom comes from behind you, hovers over the mess, inhales it, and then it starts to sound a bit more like...
Poor thing.
How long are you going to let me do that?
No, keep going, you're fine.
The moose is hardening up so quickly, it is blocking it up good. It sticks it right in place where it is.
We didn't need to bung up the void hole, we just needed to make a mess with the moose right.
But it is now stuck.
Okay, right, we're going to open the hatch.
You grab it, you can handle it easily. You open up the hatch, you see a whole lot of dirt and hair, more than should normally fit in a Roomba. There must be some magical expansion going on here, but luckily, the moose hardened up and got stuck so early in the mechanism, it hasn't gunked up any of this, so you can reach your hand in and search for what you want. It's quite easy to feel paper. You find the little bits of scrap that you made earlier, but some slightly larger scraps. Then you grab them, and you can take a good look. Another image incoming.
Yes, again, for people at home, you can have a look at these scraps yourself. But I believe, David, it might be your turn to have a... Or you can share. There's a few things to describe. You two can swap off describing these things on these paper scraps.
All right. So we have 9 different rune-like shapes. One looks suspiciously like a wonky towel rail. One looks that has hair underneath it. One looks like suspiciously like a guitar or a butterfly, which has got love underneath it. And then we've got 3 circles for quiet, or a wonky line for leave.
I mean, let's just make it clear, the one for boss does look a bit like an arse.
One might describe it as
a long W, but it also looks a bit like an arse.
That's a long arse.
It's a magical arse.
Good point. Magical expanding arse.
These... Hang on me, sorry. These do match up with the rune design on the big curtain with the gold symbols on it. Reading from top to bottom, I would assume that these are love intersecting with not sure what, intersecting with hair and money.
We can definitely rule out the triangle that's face, the 3 circles that's quiet, storage doesn't appear to be there. That's like a rectangle with legs. Is leave there? I don't think leave is
there. Leave isn't there. I don't see any diagonal.
The arse kind of is not there either.
It's not there either.
Help, which looks like the number 8 riding a bicycle from above, that's
sort
of not quite there either. So,
hair, money.
I think we might be missing one line.
I think we might be missing one, but I don't know which.
Kind of like if it's like storage, but that doesn't quite match up either. That's frustrating. Right, what does that even, love, hair, money? I mean, like, obviously, barbers love hair, money. That's why they're in business. But, like, that doesn't really make a lot of sense.
I would say, because you are right, that if you do love hair and money, the thing that's sort of missing from the curtain is that, like, the horizontal line almost.
Yeah.
Which definitely must be from some other rune.
Mm.
If every part is part of a rune, there must be something else that's making that horizontal-ish line appear.
I also think the whole thing is a lot taller than just the rune for hair.
Yeah, hair is not as tall as this.
Oh, hang on. Is that left-hand one... So you see, effectively we've got rugby posts, like this H, okay? But actually that's not quite straight. It's actually a bit slightly curved. So you could put boss in perhaps that sort of left-hand loop of the...
You could. The one that I described as looking like an arse, which I'd now like to change to a W with a very, like an oddly shaped W, a U with a little tick in it. You could actually fit that in there, couldn't you?
So love boss hair money. Hugo Boss is part of this operation.
Love boss hair money.
That gives us 4 words. Does that relate to 4 numbers? I mean... Remember, this is the thing with the 4-digit combination lock on it. So it's not just random things, isn't it? These things might also mean something. So, okay. Well, like quiet is three circles. So is that three? No, because face is a triangle. So you think that might also be three. Eight, help looks like an eight on a bicycle. Money looks like the letter G, sort of having a bit of a relax.
And I've been trying to flip them because the boss glyph, the W, the arse, could also be two J's, one of which is reflected, just touching by the tips of their tail. Storage could be that with an F. Leave could be that with a B. Sorry, love could be that with a B. But
yeah, if you flip money, it does look a bit like half of a Q.
Yes. Love, hair, boss, money. I'm putting them in every order in my head, and I can't get any kind of semantic meaning out of that.
Well, apart from love being zero.
Hair, boss, love, money. The manager loves money.
Hair, boss, love, money.
Yeah.
What do you know about hair, boss?
Oh, he loves Stacy.
Stitching, say Stacy.
Auburn hair.
Can go over what that magazine article said if anyone needs
familiarity. Yeah, can you just give us that magazine article again? Just so...
The only thing that can get one through the lowest lows, love. My new love, Stitch and Stacy, has reinvigorated my heart, my soul, and my business. Whenever I'm in a slump, I simply hold her lily-soft hand, listen to the symphonic flute of her voice, or embrace her close enough to smell the overwhelming reassurance of her auburn hair, and everything miraculously gets better.
I assumed that the stitching on this curtain was just some golden thread. It's not auburn hair by any chance, is it?
Not to the best of your knowledge.
Okay.
That's very frustrating that it mentions love and hair and it doesn't mention boss and money. I was hoping that it would put these four things in a particular order.
Mm.
There's one area we haven't investigated yet and I might as well round it up, which is the teleport circle.
Very fair. You've never interacted with a teleporter circle before, and you're not exactly sure how it functions, what its limitations are. All you know is what Bettina mentioned and what you see now. It's glowing, basically neon blue, and around its edges are various symbols that maybe you understand, maybe you don't. They seem to be hovering the tiniest bit above the rest of the circle. Wait, hold on. Are they pressable? Like magical buttons where you could press them and make the circle teleport stuff in and out? Ooh, best be careful of that. Who knows where you could end up? But let's take a look at it.
Yes, this is a fairly image-heavy room.
We're almost done, I swear.
But there is an image of these rune buttons. You can see it at home from the show notes, but Tom will describe them to you.
They are of the same style of runes that we've seen before. Some of the symbols sort of match. Some of them definitely don't. One is obvious, and it is marked leave, with the glyph for that. One appears to be marked help boss. The rest I can't place.
Well, the quiet one, it could be the three circles. There's like concentric circles, but that matches kind of with the quiet rune that we have. And I think the money one can match with help in the bottom. That's I think.
Oh yes, yes. That's we've got help boss and help money, haven't we?
So we need.
Oh, there's money storage at the top. At the 12 o'clock position, there is money storage. At the 9 o'clock position, help boss, and at the 6 o'clock position, help money. Did I get those right? I think I got those right.
I think so.
Yeah, and 3 o'clock is leave.
Also, at the lower right position, there is quiet and then a glyph I don't understand.
Yeah.
That's true. Maybe they're just more advanced than most people need.
So we've got help boss, help money, money storage, and leave.
But not love hair, which is what I was hoping for. Presumably this is like a menu. So if you want to mute it, you press the quiet. If you want to exit, you press the leave. It's sort of like it's like a 23rd century or a 13th century, whatever century we're in, media player.
Yeah, so what do you think would happen if you pressed some of these other ones?
I mean, which one do we want to go with first? Because we're obviously going to push one of these buttons, ideally while standing well outside the circle to see what happens, and ideally by poking it from a distance. Which one do you want to go for?
Well, help boss seems a reasonable one to start with, perhaps.
Potentially, but yeah, what would, if there was a button that had both help and boss written on it, that could also be like asking the boss for help. That could call Odd Ood right to you, and you aren't sure if you want that.
Bettina, did warn you he was a weird and possibly untrustworthy guy?
Well, that money storage obviously would be a nice one to press to see if there's any coins or notes or something around. Then we could buy some of these products that have prices on. So what about if we try that one?
Okay, so from a distance, with a long stick, if there's something available around, like...
The razor is very big.
A broom, just something from a distance.
Yep.
Pick a button, David. We'll poke it.
Let's see if money storage works.
You hold out possibly your big rusty razor and you press down the top rune with it. Glows a luminous green and a rushing sound comes from the ceiling above. It's the ceiling up there. It's shimmering. It's warping and something drops down to the floor. A big classic safe. It's deep gray. Except for one side where there's a really old poster stuck to it. Like an old, old ad for this very barbershop, like 100 years old at least. It's faded sepia, and a chunk of it at the bottom has not even been ripped off this time. It's just disintegrated over the years. The main advertising slogan on it starts with the words, "You'll be..." But the end of that sentence is part of the missing chunk, lost to the ages. And you look at the front of the safe, and it has a lock that requires 6 letters for a password. You're down to 2 locks.
You'll be safe with us. You'll be razored. I'm trying to think of a 6-letter word. You'll be shaved.
Lock requires 6 letters. I mean, the obvious choice is to try and type in Odd Ood.
Doesn't work, sadly. You'll be Odd Ood. That's ominous.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm wary of operating magical teleporters without any sort of knowledge. But I feel like we should probably put the safe back and see what else is there. What happens if we push money storage again?
Nothing happens if you press it again. You press it and leave at the same time and it'll go right up.
Okay.
Not too sure how much the others can give you. I think that's probably probably the good one to pick for now.
Okay. So we've got Love Hair Boss Money. We're looking for a 4-digit code and we're looking for a 6-letter word.
Yep. We do have a 6-letter set of glyphs still on the magic mirror, which is presumably still locating its owner. I thought those might be the chairs and the mirrors, but maybe there's a 6-letter word that can go in there?
I mean, nothing happened when you made the chairs match those images, but on second glance, like, the shape of those runes and the shape of the chairs does match. So there definitely seems to be a correlation, but
you
just
feel
putting
no
them in that
sense
pattern,
that you did anything wrong.
Yeah. Just didn't activate anything, putting the chairs in that pattern.
You said something like the shape of the chairs matched the shape of the runes.
The ones on the mirror.
Yeah, I used the word rune for 2 separate things. Those are not runes, those are glyphs. Let's call them the glyphs.
The glyphs. The chairs are the same shape as those Nukunkun glyphs.
Hang on a second. N-E-U-M... E-N? Aha. Right.
New man.
Tom.
Yeah.
New men, potentially. So, yeah, if you reflect those C shapes in the mirror, the N at the doesn't have a mirror,
oh,
so that's fine.
Oh, for God's sake, yes. Sorry.
And then the second one, you reflect that C down.
You reflect it in the mirror. You're not reflecting the whole set of glyphs like I was trying to. You're reflecting each glyph separately in the line that's visible, which gives you new men. Well, I knew it was a damn reflection puzzle.
You were very close. It was really funny to listen to because you went, oh, we're going to reflect them all. And you went, oh, no, it didn't work to reflect them all. Oh, wait, these are the same as the chairs and they each have individual mirrors. Oh, well.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
David,
so
that was your solve. You should type that one into the safe.
Let's type that into the safe and see if that works.
It absolutely works. The safe creaks its door open for you. You peer inside and not much money going on in there. But what all you see is a long T-shaped piece of metal. The T end looks like handles, but you haven't seen anywhere that looks like it needs handles. So you have no idea what this could be, where it goes. So you put it in your comically oversized pocket and continue.
When you say T-shaped, like handlebars on a bike, something like that?
Yeah.
I'm picturing more like a razor scooter.
Like a pogo stick without the go.
Sure.
Okay.
And does the end of the T have like a hexagon or sort of like a screwdriver attachment?
It does taper a little bit like it would screw into something.
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting.
Now you're down to one lock.
Money storage does not contain money. It just contains this.
No, it was a safe, so potentially, normally it contains money, but not right now. Yeah. Not for you.
All right, let's take stock here, David. We've got a T-shaped bit of metal, like a pogo stick without the go.
Nice.
We've got a curtain with a lock on it that we can't currently open. And we have the words love, hair, boss, and money translated from the runes on that curtain. Is there anything I missed that we still have? We haven't used the clue about Stitch and Stacy and her auburn hair.
Mm. Well, there was the shelf of products, but have we used everything there that we needed? Or is there something, a secondary thing we need there?
Oh, I didn't write them down beyond the quick hardening mousse. Can you give us the products again?
So a lot of them were normal, like you had your strawberry-scented things, lavender-scented things, but then some of them had some very peculiar scents to them, like nostalgia for a long-gone holiday, or the satisfying fullness of having eaten just the right amount. So some of them get very abstract.
Are we trying to find particular words that match these things? I don't think so. Not looking for, like, ennui or something.
There isn't one that says solving a puzzle or anything like that.
No.
There's not a product that says love, hair, boss, money or anything like that that would magically unlock.
No.
Not specifically
but
like
but
that.
You're getting closer.
I haven't done the obvious thing yet of trying to lift up the curtain and have a look behind.
This is also true. That hasn't happened yet. Would you like to give it a shot?
Let's give it a shot.
Yeah, curtains don't lock. But when you try to pull it aside, your hands just sort of slip around it like it's trying to dodge your grip. It doesn't quite work. Whatever, it's a curtain. You'll crawl under it. So you try to, you stick your head under it, you crawl under the curtain, and it magically flips you around and you crawl back out the way you came. So, yeah, you need to do this lock.
We had this message on the mirror that said, blood not spilled by owner, locating.
Yeah, it seems to have gotten very stuck on that.
I'm not spilling my own blood for this.
It's okay, your blood's not even magic, it wouldn't understand.
Can you give us the magazine story again, one more time?
Absolutely. What gets you through the hard times? The only thing that can get one through the lowest lows, love. My new love, Stitch and Stacy, has reinvigorated my heart, my soul, and my business. Whenever I'm in a slump, I simply hold her lily-soft hand, listen to the symphonic flute of her voice, or embrace her close enough to smell the overwhelming reassurance of her auburn hair, and everything miraculously gets better.
Is there a product that's got reassurance on the bottom or something like that?
You do notice a product on the shelf, a tiny bottle called Overwhelming Reassurance Oil for Auburn Hair.
Well, let's have a look at that, and the price it is.
It's a... 41.01. Apparently wizards do the opposite of the whole price it at 99 cents thing so that it looks cheaper.
Okay, and now do we type that in or do it backwards as 10.14?
Let's try 41.01 first.
It is the money that would be paid for the hair of the boss's love. So it seems like it fits all those runes.
Wow. Okay, we took the long way round to that.
You plug 4101 into the lock and the lock dissolves in your hands and the curtain now is just a curtain. So you can grab it and throw it aside with no trouble. Behind it is a hallway with a small sign saying, to downstairs shop. You walk a little way down the hallway, turn a corner, and you find a stairwell. No stairs, just a stairwell. Just a big gaping shaft where a staircase should be. You wonder if this is another wizard thing, but on the wall you see a control panel. With, seemingly, some pieces missing.
Look a bit closer and see what's missing there.
Well, it looks in particular like there is one central hole where something has been taken out of it.
Let's stick the big T-shaped thing in and crank it.
Your T-shape is a perfect fit. You stick it in, you crank it down, and then you hear a great deal of clanking and clattering. Stairs pull themselves out of the wall, a great spiral descending into the depths below. Once it's settled into place, you can head tentatively down. You know, the sign said this leads to a downstairs shop, but what kind? The barbershop's certainly been weird enough. Who knows what a wizarding touch would do to other businesses? You reach a doorway, and you go through and find yourself immediately standing in the shop. No locked door keeping you out of this one. Apparently, as long as the stairs work, wizards are free to come and go here as they please. And what sort of shop is this? The answer is right in front of you. There's a long counter with trays of steaming, fragrant pies. On the wall, you see a neon sign flashing the words, Cookin' Papa, owned by Stitch and Stacy. Aw, how sweet. She named it after her dad. This pie shop, located underneath a barber shop.
Ah.
Hang on.
We have a Sweeney Todd thing going on here, don't we? Okay.
And just what that needed, more magic.
Let's look around. What can we see?
Pretty much the only thing of interest is these trays of pies. They sit in their trays, the steam gently rising from the scoring on their pastry tops, even though, presumably, since it's the middle of the night, they must have been here for hours at least. These things aren't normal. Maybe when a pie shop is attached to a wizard barbershop, thermal physics go a bit awry. And here's your last image.
People at home, you can see these pies. The show notes below.
So we've got six pies. Each one is sort of a crimped pastry top, and there are two cuts in each one. And seasoned solvers will flinch as they see two hands pointing in different directions. So,
yeah, my first thought was semaphore as well. You put two lines on each pie that are at 45 degree angles to vertical, or you know, in that kind of thing. I look and I see a six-letter semaphore code. But we haven't exactly got a semaphore manual with us here.
Not so much. You've used up most of everything. You don't have any weird new clues.
We're trying to track down Samwise, where there was the faintest signal from Hardood's barbershop.
Yes, it seems like the last place they got a read on him was in this barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, if these circles do represent letters, they don't happen to match with the pattern of Gamgee or Odd Ood. In fact, none of them are repeats, as far as I can tell. No.
They could also be clock time, if you've got two marks of things. I don't see a big hand and a little hand there.
No, but they're all
pointing at what you would call the cardinal directions and the directions in between in terms of compass directions.
Yes.
So they're all either northeast, southwest, or northeast, southeast, southwest, northwest. So, I mean, I would be extremely impressed if you could spell a word like newsness or something.
We haven't brought anything down here with us. I think we've used every clue from upstairs. It is trying to locate the owner. That mirror is trying to locate the owner. And if this is a Sweeney Todd situation, the owner, do we have something that can magically restore after the demon barber has had their way with them?
So do we throw the correct pie in the mirror? Oh, because it is a quick changing mirror. could it change somebody back to where they were? So does that mean we have to, we identify them by their, hang on a second, so it's Sam Wise, SW Southwest? Is that no?
Not quite. Is it? But if you are looking for a Sam Wise pie,
how might we figure it out?
Is there any other clue you might have to figure out which pie is him?
Oh, hang on. So Samwise is mentioned in that Wizards article. We haven't particularly...
Oh, yes. And we have the picture of him where he has...
The moustache. The moustache is kind of... One side is sort of pointing up and to the left.
Yes, one of those pies has the same crease marks as his moustache, as the same angles.
So that would be the middle left pie then. So let's take that middle left pie, throw it into the mirror and see what happens.
Well, let's hold it up to the mirror first, but we'll take throwing it.
Nah, go all in.
Yeah, the mirror really seems like it only responds to blood, and you take a look at the pie and you go, all right, well, what counts as pie blood? Now, what would happen if this was Samwise who has been pieified? What happens to Samwise if you smush him against a mirror? That might be a bit extreme. Is there any other option for getting some pie blood out of Pie Sam?
Well, presumably you could just reuse the eyedropper, take that from the pie, and squeeze that back into the mirror like we did before.
You could do that. You could make a nice little nick with your trusty razor to get some out. Anything like that. Just something. Give the pie a small wound rather than a smushing. So you do that. You get a little bit, just a nice delicate little piercing of the crust, just enough that a sliver of liquid bubbles up to the surface, and you touch it against the mirror and a bit drips on the glass. This time, a radiant explosion of light bursts from inside the mirror. The pie grows heavy in your hands. You strain not to drop it, but it's expanding, expanding in all directions. Its shape changing. It is turning into the elderly Samwise. He looks just like his picture in the magazine, only with a small cut on his face to where you dug into the pie to get some of its liquid out. He's ancient, but his eyes are alight with energy and with fury. How dare she? How dare he? That was the most respected barber in wizarddom, and this is what they've turned each other into. Oh, I'll get them. I'll get them both. Ood and Stacy, I'll... Bettina hired a mortal. Clever of her. Well, good job. Go back to her and get your dollars or your drachmas or whatever you use. She'll give them to you. And with that, he waves a hand that magically shoves you backwards into the teleporting circle. One of the runes glows, the one that you know said leave, and everything goes black. Moments later, you've fallen back on the couch in Bettina's cozy living room, and she's worriedly asking you if you found her friend. Wait. That it? Hold on. You tell her what happened, and she says, oh, good. She pays you. And opens the door and lets you out. Wait, what? You don't get to witness an epic confrontation of Samwise and Odd Ood, the wizarding demon barber baker thing? I mean, I suppose you could demand that Bettina send you back, but what are you gonna do? You might have saved his life, but Samwise doesn't seem to consider you useful, or consider you whatsoever. Your old boss was right. You shouldn't ever accept jobs from wizards. It's not about the jobs being difficult or them not understanding mortals at all. It's because they think they can handle everything. And you're just going to be left unsatisfied, let down, and having no idea what happens at the end to Odd, Ood, and Stitch and Stacy. Well, you're probably not going to eat pies again for a while around here. Maybe that's the best conclusion you can hope for. That's it.
And that's it.
Hooray. I'm on a severe diet at the minute, so I'm glad that I didn't have to eat any type of pie, especially not a pie filled with an old wizard. So that is really high in cholesterol. That would wreck the diet.
I love it.
Incidentally, I've tried to decipher it with semaphore, and it gives me really yuck-suck. So that wouldn't have worked. Yeah, no, not so good.
Thank you for listening to Escape This Podcast. Don't forget to tune in next week for Podcast This Escape, where we debrief with our guest and discuss the escape room that we just escaped from.